We'll be continuing in our with our stories or with the Luke Gospel. That's what we are doing this month. And if you remember, last week our brother Craig read a portion of God's Word. And it said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And that is in Luke chapter 4. Today we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 5. And if you're following this progressive reading, you will know that in Luke chapter 5, we have at least 7 ministry that the Lord does. It can be more if you want to look at it that way, but it can be more. And today I'm going to be trying to read at least 2 stories, or 2 or 3 maybe, to show the individual life that Christ, the Lord Jesus, did to these people. And what he did, or show with his power. You know, that's what he came to do. He came to preach the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to read in chapter 5, from verse 1 to maybe 11, and then I come back and just do a couple of pointers on some of the verse. So let's read. "So it was, as the multitude pressed about him," that is Jesus, "to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret," and that could be also the name of the lake at Galilee, "and saw 2 boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat." Maybe I should just stop there for a minute. First of all, I want to talk about, this was the great catch, you know. These fishermen was fishing all night, and they came home, or they were going home. They didn't catch nothing, and they were washing their nets. But here was Jesus on the scene. He started his ministry now, and here he was. He met this man, one of the boats belonged to him. And this is Simon. Simon, further on in Luke chapter 4, you will remember, the Lord Jesus went to his home, and his mother-in-law was sick. And the Lord healed her. We're going to look at that too. But here he was standing on the shore, and or he was washing his net, or he could just be standing to listen to the word of God, because the multitude was so great that he himself was maybe wondering where the Lord is going to stand to speak. And so the Lord knew that one of those boats belonged to Simon, and Simon was there. So we're talking about an individual. That's the story I want to kind of lay on us this morning. Although the crowd was so great, each one of us here this morning are an individual, and we make up the fellowship here. But you see, before we come into fellowship, we either didn't know God, we didn't know Christ as our personal Savior, and so somebody was praying for us, asking the Lord to save us. And here was this Simon. He was a businessman. He was in the business of fishing. And he was in the business with two other brothers. And here he was standing there listening to the Lord. And the Lord came up to him. And the Lord talked to him. What the Lord said. Verse 2, and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into the boat, which was Simon's, and asked him. Here is where the Lord contact Simon. And asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. So here was it. This was Simon's boat. And the Lord came to him and asked him. Individual? Personal? Yes? This is a personal, somebody talking to you personal. It's your boat. But the Lord knew that before he even asked him. And he said to him, can you push it out a little so that I can maybe stand up? The scripture here says, sit down and speak to the multitude because it was so great. You know, this was something happening. This never happened before. And these people want to see this because the Lord Jesus was healing the sick, the lame, the blind, those who had demon possessed. These were happening. Great times. It's like, remember in those days when Billy Graham having these tent meetings or a crusade in stadium and all this, and people were coming to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So one thing I will say, Jesus met Simon and he talked to him personally, and he did that to us. We were all sinners. We had no hope. And the Lord Jesus spoke to us that day and said, will you be mine? And we did that. And so now the meeting kind of stopped. Verse 4, when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Remember, these fishermen toiled all night, you know, and they know the waters. They know where the fish is, but they didn't bring in a thing. The Lord knows everything. And he knows where the fish are. He knows our heart. He knows where we stand. Today, as you are sitting here, he knows what we are thinking. Yes, that's a great Savior. He has the power to rule and overrule. He has the power to catch a fish or show them that he can give them fish. And that's what he did. He said to Simon, personally, here is it, personally, Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Simon replied, verse 5, but Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, you know, is between two opinions. I'm a fisherman, I caught nothing last night. But here you are, you're God. And you know everything. And you're telling me to cast my net on the other side. And what did Simon said? Master, I have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Yes? And we see Simon here obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes? This morning, we are here obeying the Master. He saved us. He wants us to come and serve him. We are here this morning at the breaking of bread, and some of the things we hear to remember, to serve, for all that he has done for us. And here was one who was in business, labor all night, caught nothing. But here is the great Master come to tell him what to do. This master was also a carpenter, a fisherman taking orders from the carpenter. You see the picture here? The carpenter knew everything. The carpenter was a great God. The carpenter not only was a great God, but he was God. Because he knew that the boat was Simon. He knew that Simon was a fisherman. He knew that he had partners right there washing or mending their nets. And he said to him, "Let your net down for a catch." And he did that. "At your command, I will do that." And he obeyed God. And when they had done this, verse 6, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were breaking. You see the picture here? Only God can do that. He knows that they toil all night. He knows that they didn't catch nothing. Simon was there. He was interested in the work of God. And God said, maybe to himself, "I'm going to show you, Simon, that I have power over the deep, over the sea, over the fishes. And I'm going to show you that you're going to have one of the greatest catch that will, burst your bubbles." Yes? Burst your bubbles. And he did that. Verse 6, "And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets was breaking." How great is that? I don't know how many pounds you think, because those nets, have you ever gone to the ocean and see them pulling in a net? Well, I have seen that. And sometimes these days they use the boat to pull the net. And great numbers of fish are in that thing. But that was nothing compared to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah? He did that. They have to signal to their friends. Verse 7, "So they signal to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink." That's how great the number of fish was. The weight. And this wasn't just like a dinghy. This was a big ship, because they were doing deep sea fishing. And so their boats began to sink. So they had to make haste to come to shore that they didn't sink. And verse 8, "When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord.'" He didn't know. He wasn't saved. He was still thinking about getting saved. But here the Lord Jesus Christ showed him the power that he has. And what he did, he believed. He bowed down at his knees and said, he bowed down at Jesus and he's saying, "Depart from me, for I am sinful. For I'm a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. Yeah. When they realized the amount of fish or the weight of fish and see that their boats was sinking, they realized this got to be God. This got to be somebody supernatural. This has to be, no human being can do these things. He tell them where the fish was. They put down their nets, and here the draw came in. They couldn't handle it. The boats were about to sink. And then I said he obeyed. And then I said, too, that here was one when we obey the Lord Jesus Christ, we have our rewards. Yes? The rewards that he gave him. What was his reward? Here, he obeyed God, putting down his net. He get the fish. They brought them out. So the reward was the fish that he didn't catch the night. He catch them right in the day there. And so that's his reward. And he acknowledged here that this one was God himself. "I'm a sinful man. Save me." We all did that. "I do not know you. Can you save me? Come into my life. Change me from what I was to what I will be now. And so this is what I'm saying. This guy, this Simon, he met the Lord, and his life would never be the same after that. Yes? Yeah. This man, well, you got to go back in different chapters and read his life. I mean, there was ups and downs, because why? He's human. But the Lord always bring him back to that part where he asks him to forgive him. Let's just read the finishing verses here. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, he comforted him. He said, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." Yeah. You see, the great master know his heart. He saw that he was willing to accept him as his personal savior. And then the Lord gave him the command. You know? Give him the command. Follow me. Follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. Verse 11. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Yeah, they forsook all. That means they left their business, they left their father, they left their home, they left everything, because they saw what the Lord Jesus did. He had the power, and he alone could save them. He alone can tell them what to do. He alone can do this for us, dear ones. The Lord touch our lives, and we will never be the same. Because we know right from wrong now. We were going on wrong most of the time. But now he saved us. And he gave us the Holy Spirit. And so we know we can judge what is right, what is wrong. Today, if you are not saved, if you are not sure, you still have that privilege. The day of salvation is still available. And Christ is speaking to us. And he alone can save us. We're going to do another one. Verse 12. And this is happening here. I want to set the space and you kind of follow me here. This was a leper. You know, in those days, these leper, they didn't walk the street like out here. No. You know, once you were a leper, you had your own. You stay with the leper. In other words, you wasn't permitted to be in the public eye. Or if you were, you would be crying from afar, "Unclean, unclean, unclean, here I come. Make way, don't come near me because you might get this germ what I have." And so this man, just consider with me here, he's a leper, he couldn't be in the public. He know Jesus was coming through. He know Jesus was around. And he know or hear all about what Jesus was doing. Saving, healing the blind, or giving sight to the blind. The lame could walk, and all these miracles that the Lord Jesus did. And here he was. Maybe he's out there behind a tree, you know, hiding. But he know the Lord Jesus has to pass that way. And he want to see him. You want to see him. Let's read. And it happened when he was in a certain city that behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." You see, this leper, he had an advanced state of leprosy. That means his whole body was covered with leprosy. Leprosy are sores, purifying sores, boils, and all these kind of stuff. You got to go to Leviticus 13 and and 14, and you will read what these the leprosy is all about. But he was in such an advanced stage that nothing could cleanse him. One person could cleanse him from his leprosy. And he heard that he was passing this way, or he heard that he was doing these kind of things, these kind of deliveries from Satan and all that. And he wanted to see him because he wanted to know if he could heal him. You know? And it just struck me when I was reading and looking up on it, these things, that no one could heal him. No doctors, no, bush could help him. No spirituality could help him. The only person could help him was Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ had the power. He was given the power. He came to do the will that the Father gave him to do, and that is to save those who were lost. I have a problem. I got to go look at it, find clearance for it. And he did. He did. He didn't beat around the bush either. He didn't stand here and talking to the Lord. He come directly to the Lord Jesus Christ, because this is what was happening to him. He had a problem and he wanted to get it taken care of. And so he came and he said, "Lord, if you're willing, you individual can make me clean. You, the Lord Jesus, if you are willing." And what did the Lord Jesus did? Verse 13. The Lord Jesus, then he put out his hands and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be clean. I am willing, be clean." The Lord Jesus came to do that. And that's why he was looking for him. He heard that the Lord Jesus was coming this way. He said, "I got to go and see him, because he is the only one can clear this, take care of this problem for me." And not only that, he was right there waiting at the Lord Jesus. You know, I would just lay right out at him, prostrate, he did, before the Lord Jesus. And he kind of put up his hand to, you know, and said, "Lord, if you're willing, you're the only one can help me. You're the only one can cleanse me." And what did the Lord Jesus said? "I am willing, be cleansed or be cleaned." And immediately, the power of the Lord Jesus take hold of that man. And his leprosy was gone. Not only gone, his leprosy was gone forever. This was God talking. "I put the power of God in you. Be gone." Yeah. This is our God. This is what he does. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, leprosy is like sin in our lives. We can't get rid of our sin. Yeah? We can't. The only person can get rid of our sin is Jesus Christ. And we have to come to him to get saved. He alone can take away the sin from my heart, cleanse me, and make me a new child of God. So this leper, he put his trust, or he know that this Jesus could help him. And he look out for him. He went there and he find him. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I am willing. I am willing to save anyone that call on my name this morning." And today we have that day available to whoever will call on him. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing. be cleaned. Immediately, the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. And so, what was he supposed to do? You got to follow the writings in Leviticus. If you are cleansed, and in those days too, the leprosy, you know, if you were a leper, you were put outside of the camp. Or if you come back in the camp, they give you another 2 weeks outside of the door, your door. You can't go inside. You have to wait till that 2 weeks come, and the priests have to look at you and see if you're clean. And if there is any still little open sores, you still have to be out of the camp for another 2 weeks. I advise you to read Leviticus 13 and 14 and see how the Israelites, how these things were put upon them. Yeah, it's not like you have a rash and it get better and you're okay. No, these were great, great health issues, and they have to deal with it. The only person could give him the okay was the priest. But the only person who could cleanse him was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he did that. But what did the Lord Jesus say? Go show yourself to the priest. Let him say you are clean. So then when the priest would ask him now, you know, I'm just saying that, who did this? He would say, Jesus. You know? And Jesus warned him because he didn't want this to get out. But although Jesus warned him not to say anything, it still got out because the crowd was seeing all these things that the Lord Jesus Christ was doing. He had the power. He was given the power to come and save souls. And people crowd around him to get all of these things that they were going through to take in away from him. And because it said no, verse 15 said, however, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Yes? So here we have our great Savior. He started his ministry, and people are seeing it, and people are being saved too. You know, it's not only that some of them are getting rid of their baggage, sin, but here the Lord continued to speak to them. And you know, this is two meeting here with these two people. Their life is never the same again. The leper, he was cleansed, right? The leper, now he can sit in the pew with me and you. The leper, he showed himself to the priest. Not only that, the Lord Jesus wasn't afraid of leprosy. You know, in the Jewish place, too, if you touch a leper, you were put outside too for a while. But here the Lord Jesus touched him. I am willing to make you clean and be clean. What can we say today about the Lord Jesus Christ? We can say he lives within my heart. I'm going to try and do the last one, which I think, well, I got to do this one first. Verse 16. You know, although the Lord was doing all these powerful stuff, he took the time to go pray to his Father. Verse 16, listen. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. You see, that's where he gets his power from, the Father. He left the crowd. He went aside in a quiet place. And there he communed with the Father. Father, give me the power. You send me to the preach to the unsaved, to the rich, to the poor, and be something for them. So, we as believers should take the time to pray to the Father. Yes? I think we should. If we don't, then we have no power. Our belief will get so weak that we can't do nothing. I'm going to try and do one more. I will tell you, you should read this Luke chapter 5 and really tell me if I'm wrong. I said 7 ministry in here, but it could be more. The next one I'm going to do is we are going to start at verse 27. After all of these things, after all this, the leper got healed. Verse 27, after these things, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, follow me. Follow me. Yes? Now he's trying to get his disciples together. So he's just calling those he think, or those he know would follow him. Those whom he know would have the love of God in their heart. Tax collector in those days were vicious. I read here. Tax collectors were absolute despised by their own culture because they worked for Roman government and carried themselves by collecting and enriched themselves by collecting taxes from their own people, often dishonestly, collecting excessive amount. If you want a quote of that, you can see Luke 19:8. It is likely that Eli was well-to-do because he had this great feast for the Lord Jesus Christ. After the Lord Jesus met him and called him. Let's read it. Verse 28, so he left all, rose up, and followed him. He followed Jesus. Then Levi gave him a great feast in his own house, and there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them. And their scribes and Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and strangers? So, you know, the Pharisees, they always say these things, are looking for something to criticize the great master. And here he was. He came to seek those who were lost. The tax collectors were lost sinners. And he came to seek them. And he called Eli, and Eli followed him. Tax collector like Eli were seen by religious elite as very sinful people. So sinful that even spending time with them could immediately tarnish a good person's reputation. A quote for that is in Matthew 9:10-11. When Jesus was having dinner at Levi's home with many other tax collectors and sinners present, the Pharisees questioned disciples about Jesus' choice of companions. Jesus' response is one of the clearest explanation of God's heart and his gospel to man. It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Matthew 9:12-13. Jesus came to save not the good, self-righteous people, but those who knew they were not good. The people who admitted freely that they needed salvation. We all need salvation. And today is your day if you're not saved. You can receive that love. You can receive that salvation. The grace of God is still available. Levi met the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, follow me. Follow me. Follow me. It's not finished. You know, this feast that Levi gave, remember, he was a tax collector. And so he invited the other tax collector to this party to show them or to tell them that, here, I was a tax collector, but I leave that now. So I want you to know that I'm a different person. Yes? You got to read that because our time is actually up. But the Lord here, he tell the Pharisees, I didn't come to call the righteous, or those who were good, quote unquote, or those who had money. I came to call those who were sinners. Yes, we all are sinners here this morning. And if you love Jesus Christ as your Savior, or you're thinking about him, but you're really not committed to him, this is the time you can do that. And you can make it right with him today. I would say Heli was one of the tax collectors who Jesus saved. When called by Jesus, Heli immediately left his tax collection booth and followed the Lord. He left behind the source of his riches. He left his position of security and comfort for traveling, hardship, and eventually martyrdom. He left his old life for a new life. And that's what we do, dear ones, when we come to know Christ as our personal Savior. We leave the world side and we go to follow our Lord and Savior of the world. We look forward for that day when we shall see him as he is, and we will be glad to do that. Let's pray. Oh, Father and our God, we thank you again this morning as we look through the lives of these ones. You touch their lives, and their life never be the same again. Father, we thank you for each one here this morning. And we thank you that you have touched our lives. And we continue to follow you and to serve you, to do what you ask us to do. Father, bless each and every heart here this morning. We think of if there is any suffering, those who are going through difficulties, we pray, God, you might continue to just encourage by your word, by your love, by your statement. We pray, God, and thank you for your word. We can always look through it and in it and get a blessing from it. So we just thank you again for the day. And we think of those, again, Father, who are sick. We pray that you might continue to encourage them. Watch over them, Father, and just give them a good day today. Thank you for your word, our Father. And we praise you. We love you. And we give you thanks in our Savior's worthy and precious name. Amen.